the responsive reading of the Word of God. I really do. I know it takes us a good 6 minutes to read that every service, but boy, I'll tell you, it's not my words that matter. It's the Word of God. It really is. It's the Word of God that does the work, and we're thankful for that. Just a couple things before we get into the lesson tonight. We started hosting the sermons online. Amen. You're able to get the messages online and download those. And also, remember, February is the month of fellowship. Invite somebody over. We've got the Wiesners coming over this week, and we got the Kirklands coming next week. And invite somebody over to your home for a meal. Doesn't have to be a big meal. Maybe just be a snack. Amen. Don't invite Pastor Mayer over on Sunday night because he's not coming. Amen. They got some kind of football game going on this week. Amen. And amen. So everybody's going to invite you over now, Pastor Mayer. Amen. All right, look at your outline if you would. Introduction. In our last lesson, we learned that while Jude had given all diligence and wanted to write about the common salvation, remember he said that at the beginning of verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," okay, and back to your outline, he was detoured, okay, he was detoured or moved by the Holy Ghost. And in parentheses, you want to write the verse 2 Peter 1:21. By the way, that is a critical doctrinal verse. 2 Peter 1:21 in parentheses there. So if you're looking at your blanks, you give in all diligence, wanted to write about the common salvation. He was detoured or moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1:21, to exhort them to, and this is right out of the text, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is a great verse of Scripture, a preaching verse. I'm teaching it tonight, but boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of preach in this verse. He told them to exhort them to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So number one on your outline here, we see the adverb. The adverb, earnestly. You didn't think you were going to get English tonight, amen? But you're going to get a little English lesson. An adverb can modify a verb, an adjective, another adverb, a phrase, or a clause. An adverb indicates manner, time, place, cause, or degree. Okay? Degree. Not just earnest, but earnestly. Okay, that's the adverb, okay? And we have here just a couple more things. It answers the questions such as how, when, where, how much, okay? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the word earnestly as warmly, blank line, zealously, importunately. Okay, and that is an old-fashioned word. If you read Luke chapter 18, you'll learn the parable of the importunate servant. And remember why Jesus answered, why the neighbor answered that prayer. It wasn't because it was friend. It was because he wouldn't stop knocking. Amen? That's the idea of importunity, okay? This idea of earnestly. It has effort to it. Eagerly is the next blank. So warmly, zealously, importunately, eagerly, with real desire. Okay? The word earnestly, it just has that feel to it. That idea of real desire. Okay? Real desire. Not just to contend for the faith, but to earnestly contend for the faith. It adds so much to that. If it just said to contend for the faith, that would be enough. Amen? But it says to earnestly contend for the faith. Zealously, eagerly, real desire. So number one, the adverb. Number two, the action. We see the action. And of course, the action is to contend. Okay? And we have the root word here, Greek word. And I'm not even trying to pronounce it. Amen? Agonizomahi. Amen? Yeah, that's it. That's the root word there. The idea of contending is used 7 times in the Scriptures. That root word is used 7 times and is translated as strive, fight, and 3 times apiece there. That's where you have those little numbers there. 3 times apiece. And labor fervently. Okay? Labor fervently. The idea of contending. In boxing, when somebody wants to fight the champ, they have to be the number one contender. Okay? That means they know how to fight. Amen? And so labor fervently. These carry several meanings, and we have here, enter a contest. Blank line there. Enter a contest. Very interesting Greek meaning here for that word that we can't pronounce. Amen. Agonizomahi. Amen. Amen. Brother Blonky, teach me how to pronounce that word after class here. Amen. Contend in the gymnastic games. Okay? On that first line there, enter into a contest. Enter a contest. Contend in the gymnastic games. Second bullet point there. Contend with adversaries. Fight. Fight. Boy, I tell you, you know, I want to get on a rabbit trail, but boy, you know, as kids, we got in fights. I remember parents watching us get into fights. Saying, you boys want to fight? Go ahead. Well, no, go ahead. You want to fight? You fight. And I remember my dad taught me how to fight. He says, it's important to be able to defeat. He said, don't you ever start a fight, but you better know how to finish one. And, you know, God here is telling us, you know, there's some things that are worth fighting for. We have a lot of pacifistic Christianity. And I tell you what, that is not the Christianity of the Bible. We're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. Second bullet point there, contend with adversaries to fight. Third bullet point, contend, struggle. Struggle with difficulties and dangers. Contend, struggle with difficulties and dangers. Like I said, I can't wait to start reading that book, Samuel J. Mills, Missionary Pathfinder. He wrote on horseback, folks. He wrote on horseback. You read the story of David Livingston? Nobody, no white man had been where he went. And somebody came to him and said, Mr. Livingston, they had written to him. And they said, I want to know what's an easy way to get to where you are. I want to come and help you. You know what David Livingston wrote back? He said, I am not interested in anyone who wants the easy way to get to me. Well, we do. We like things easy. Amen. Right, listen, I'm confessing. I like it when things go easy. But listen, this idea here of struggling with difficulties and dangers is this idea of contending. Last bullet point there. Endeavor with strenuous zeal. Strenuous zeal. You know, I think of that. I think about like a bodybuilder. Like they will work and they will do, they're trying to do a couple more every day. And you see them on those last few pushes and you can just see every muscle in their body is constricting. That's the idea that God is saying here. Earnestly contend. Contend. The action, the adverb. Number three on the second page there, the articles. The articles. We see we're supposed to earnestly contend for what? The faith. The faith. And I have a little note here from a book that's been a great help to me in this study by Max Coder on Jude. And it says, the faith is the extensive body of Bible doctrine which makes up the perfect whole of truth. No one passage defines it. The faith is the complete New Testament teaching concerning the true church of Jesus Christ. And that is a great definition of the faith. Believers are exhorted to, let's go to that verse there in Acts 14 and see what we're exhorted to do. Acts 14, 22. Last one there is the last one there. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Speaking of Barnabas here. Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith. So blank line there, believers are exhorted to continue in the faith. Now if you see the next passage there, you can cheat and go ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Okay? 1 Corinthians 16, there's another exhortation, and there are many more that I did not get to list here. I have some references there for you. If you want to look them up on your own time, there, Acts 16:5, 1 Timothy 3:9, and 1 Timothy 4:2. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Look what it says there. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. So we're not only to continue in the faith, we're to stand fast in the faith. That has the idea of not backing down. You know why a lot of Christians back down when somebody starts promoting evolution or some other godless philosophy? Is we just don't know our Bible enough to defend our positions. I'm telling you, that's the truth. I remember the first time I ever tangled with a Jehovah's Witness, and I got so twisted around, and I had no idea where I was, and they were going on and on and on, and I finally just decided that will never happen again. And I went home with my study Bible, and I, looking up every verse, marking it, I said, that won't happen again. Why? Because I want to earnestly contend for the faith. So we're exhorted to continue in the faith, to stand fast in the faith. And then also 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says there that we are to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. We're to examine themselves to see if they are in the faith. Okay? We have a couple reference verses there. As independent fundamental Baptists, by virtue of our name, we tell people that we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. The fundamentals of the faith. I have a 4-volume set in my office written in the early 1900s when textual criticism and liberalism was taking over the pulpits. And it's a series, a set called The Fundamentals. And it spawned the modern fundamental movement that we know of. We are, listen, you are looking at an independent, fundamental Baptist preacher tonight. I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. I believe they are pillars to a building, where if you take away one of those pillars, the building will crumble. I have some of them listed here. I have 7. There are more. I happen to believe that without the... you cannot deny these 7. You cannot. And call yourself a fundamentalist. The verbal inspiration and authority of the Scriptures is number one. That, listen, if there's a person you do not believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures, you have no faith. You have nothing to base your faith on. Nothing. The verbal inspiration and authority of the Scriptures is a fundamental of the faith. Number two. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a fundamental of the faith. Listen to me. You cannot deny the virgin birth and be a Christian. You cannot. You're apostate. The Bible says you're anti-Christ in 1 John. If you confess not that Jesus is the Christ, you're anti-Christ. That is a fundamental. Cannot be parted with. Amen? Cannot. Number three, the sinless life of Jesus Christ is a fundamental. If we do not have a sinless Savior, then we do not have a Savior, and all God's people said. Amen. He's sinless, perfect, holy, the spotless Lamb without blemish. Amen. Number four, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ is a fundamental of the faith. And that includes the blood atonement, by the way. Amen. The substitutionary death and blood atonement of Jesus Christ is a fundamental. And listen, folks, we're to contend for that. We're to contend for these things. They're against the liberals. And I don't mean the political liberals. I mean the theological liberals. The apostates that we're going to read about here in a few verses. Number five, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fundamental. It wasn't a spirit resurrection. His body came out of the grave, and all God's people said. That's a fundamental. Can't part with that. Those are the bookends. The virgin birth and the resurrection are the bookends, amen, of the life of Christ. But also, number six, salvation by grace alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ is a fundamental. Listen, if salvation's not by grace, then it's by works and we're all in trouble. It's a fundamental doctrine. It's a fundamental. It's part of the faith. And then number seven, the second coming of Jesus Christ is a fundamental. Jesus is coming back. Now listen, men can debate about the time, whether he's premillennial, and we believe he is, and believe that's a scriptural position, but there have been good men that thought it was amillennial, or it was this or that, it was going to happen a half rapture, or which I'd call a rupture, amen. But whatever it is, he's coming back. It's a fundamental. Just like he came the first time, he's going to come back the second time. Amen. And so those are just fundamentals. The faith. Amen. The faith. So we see the adverb. We see the action. We see the articles. And then number four, I want you to notice the all-time transfer. The all-time transfer. Look what it says there in verse 3. And we actually have it right there in your outline. It was once delivered. It was once delivered. The faith, looking at your outline here, the faith was delivered. The faith was delivered once and only once to the saints. The faith was delivered once and only once to the saints and is contained completely in the Word of God only. The faith was delivered once and only once to the saints and is contained completely in the Word of God only. Okay? The theological term for this is called sola scriptura. S-O-L-A, S-C-R-I-P-T-U-R-A. Sola scriptura. That means only the Bible. You know what that means? When somebody comes to you and they says, hey, you know, there's some great stuff in the Book of Mormon. And you know what you could say? There may be, but it's not the faith. When somebody comes and you're on vacation and you go into some service that's just a little strange, and somebody comes and says, I've got a revelation from God. Listen, if it doesn't agree with this, it's not part of the faith. God gave it once and for all. One time. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. By the way, that'll squelch many a cult. I don't need what Charles Taz Russell and the Jehovah's Witnesses have to say. I've got the faith right here. And I hope you understand the importance of the Bible. Listen, when I got saved out of the Church of Rome. The Church of Rome has three authorities. The Bible, the Pope, and the traditions of the church. And my question after I had gotten saved was this: what happens when those three disagree? Somebody gets to be in charge, and he's a man that wears a big hat, and he lives in Rome. And he gets to be in charge over this book. Can I tell you something, folks? At this church, for this preacher, for this staff, this is always going to be in charge. Always. Always, always, always. Why? Because we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Here it is, folks. Special delivery just for you. One time. Just like Christ died. One time. Rose. One time. Here it is. Once delivered for... Now let me ask you this. Here's our application. We're off the outline and I'm closing my Bible and my notebook. Did you read it today? Amen or oh me? Why? It's the faith. How are you going to tell somebody about the faith? You get in the book. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, we pray you'd bless now. Thank you for the time and the Word tonight. Lord, help us to earnestly contend for the faith. We pray you'd bless the invitation time now as we have the company miss come. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. 532. 532. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. Let's stand. 532. I'd like to give everybody an opportunity to respond to the preaching, teaching of the Word of God. 532, as Pastor Mayer leads us. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Sing verse 2 as the last. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
God's people said,
amen.
Hey, listen, let's earnestly contend for the faith. Let's not be contentious. Amen? You can have the right stand and the right spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's earnestly contend. Hey, we're going to have volleyball tomorrow night. Listen, just like we play volleyball, you earnestly contend for each point. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Pastor John, you come and dismiss us in prayer tonight. Pray for Pastor John and Melissa as they take the young people up to snow camp. Remember them, please, in your prayers. Leave in 1:45 and come back Saturday afternoon, Pastor John. Okay, so keep the whole trip in prayer. Pastor John.
Father, we ask for your blessing tonight as we leave here. We're thankful for the Word of God. Thank you so much for allowing us the privilege of having it. Father, help us not to just let it sit. But Father, help us to constantly be feeding our own spirit as we read the Bible. Father, I ask that you would help not just our adults and our teens, but even our little kids to read God's Word. Father, I ask that you would not only bless us as we go tonight, but Father, bless us as we go tomorrow. Give us safety as we go up there. Father, be with Brother Herbster as he preaches and ministers the Word of God to us at snow camp. Give him exactly what he needs to be able to preach to us. We ask and beg for the Holy Spirit to use him in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Orchestra practice here. Lord loves you. I love you. See you this weekend.